The first lesson for today is from Samuel. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she has made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. The second lesson for today is from Colossians. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Gracious and most merciful God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. This reading this morning from Colossians, I've struggled with it all week because all I could come up with was what seemed to me nothing more than New Age philosophical gobbledygook. Feel good, do not be nice, go into the world and do likewise. And yet, it comes from a writing, not by Paul. We're almost assured that it's not written by Paul, though it's attributed to him. And as any of the letters or writings that we find in the New Testament, we're reading someone else's mail. So in many ways, it's very hard to understand because it's like you're writing a letter or an email in this day and age to someone, talking about someone else without explaining who that someone else is or what the issue is that's going on around the letter. You might say something like, at dinner tonight, we of course talked about Aunt Lydia, and go on to talk about everything else. And if you were reading it and didn't know who Aunt Lydia was, you might not get the gist of what the rest of the letter was about. And in this particular letter, most of it is spent trying to counter a philosophy within a church which is tearing that church apart. The struggle in that church is about something that's never clearly defined throughout this whole letter. But we know one thing. It seems as though the writer of the letter is very concerned that the people of the congregation live out a life based in faith and one in which they understand that they are not going to fulfill all the promises that they make, that they're not going to meet all the standards that they set forth for themselves in worship, and that they're going to need to forgive each other of those failures. Now, you heard all that right when Jim read it. If you have a complaint against somebody else, forgive them, just as they'll forgive you. And live your life. Hear those five things? Compassion, kindness, meekness. What was the, I forgot one. It's on the front of the bulletin. meekness, humility, and patience. I love that, patience. You know, it's like that old prayer, God, give me patience, and give it to me right now. This is, being somewhat of a political junkie, I thought no politician in the world would ever run on this platform and expect to be elected. It's a call to us to seek relationships with each other, relationships with our communities, whether they be this community, this worshiping community, or the community of your family, or the community of those we know outside the congregation, we work with, live with, spend time with. And it's a struggle we all probably know quite well, because it requires a commitment to the other person. It requires a commitment to a community and understanding our part within it. And it's not easy. And it's not simple. Compassion. Compassion, you know, it comes from that word meaning having passion with someone. Sharing in their understanding, their life. Sharing what it is they care about. They have a passion for. Kindness? We live in a world where kindness and compassion alone, those two alone, will get you in more trouble these days than probably anything else. Showing kindness and compassion, and then humility. Humility is hardly celebrated in our world, a willingness to understand that we're in, as I used to have a seminary professor say, who always said, we're all in this together. That's what really humility is about. It's a recognition that yes, we play a role. Yes, we have a part, but we share with others in that part. Next week, we're going to install and ordain officers for this congregation. At no time in the church here should we remember the whole thought of humility as a part of our faith as on that day. When we recognize there are those among us whom we elected, whom we chose to lead us, to take certain parts of our community and offer back their understanding of what it means to lead us. And of course, we expect from them the humility to listen. Meekness. Meekness is difficult for anyone to accept. And yet it's also an understanding that fits with the others. For it says, again, we live in a community with each other. And then there's patience. Who wants to be patient? It's hard enough to be patient when you're hungry and the meal isn't ready. It's hard to be patient when we want something and we want it now. And yet all of these are required to live in a community and to care for each other and have the courage of faith. And it's interesting that in this letter, immediately following those five things, is this notion, this idea that we're going to fail. And that's okay. Because you see, you know what failure requires? What failure means? It means you tried. Failure doesn't happen when you don't try. Failure doesn't happen when you sit, to use a sports metaphor, on the sidelines. Failure happens when you try, when you make an effort to be kind, to be compassionate, to be humble, to be meek, and to be patient. And the letter tells us, we also need to understand that others are just like us. And they're going to fail also. And that we need to forgive them their failures as we expect to be forgiven of ours. Communities are tough things to live in. Relationships are hard to maintain. Whether they're relationships of marriage, relationships of siblings, families, larger communities, workplaces. Faith calls us to understand that God calls us to live lives in community and understand our faith as a foundation upon which we can stand. Upon that faith is that with which we clothe ourselves, to quote the passage. We clothe ourselves so that as we relate to others, they can understand and live their lives as we would want to live ours, with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with meekness, and with patience. May we find in our faith in God's presence a willingness to live lives in such a manner. Let us pray. Gracious God, the struggle is to live out our faith and to live it among others, some of whom we like and some of whom we find repugnant. Enable us, gracious God, to dare to seek to be your people, a people who live lives of compassion, of humility, of meekness, of kindness, and of patience. May we do so in your name and for your sake. Amen.